have two chapters of the Bible significant, Isaiah chapter 60 and Isaiah chapter 61. They are significant scriptures. Significant scriptures. Whereas Isaiah chapter 60 talks about the move of the Word of God. When the Word of God begins to dominate, when the Word of God begins to permeate, when the Word of God begins to create, when the Word of God begins to establish, we say the Word of God is moving. So in Isaiah chapter 60, we see the move, the emphasis of Isaiah 60 is a move of the Word. And the emphasis of Isaiah chapter 61 is the move of the Spirit. For instance, if you don't understand the manifestation of the Word of God, it will be difficult for you to understand the manifestation of the Spirit of God. If we are going to be effective in handling immortal material, then we must understand the basics, the move of the Word of God. We must understand the way heaven is shaped and the kind of personality that God is. You know, he's not a president, he's not a prime minister. He's a king. And that affects the modus operandi of the affairs of heaven. And so we'll take some time to consider the manifestation, the move of the Word. Then we now consider the move of the Spirit. We consider the manifestation of the Word. Then we consider the manifestation of the Spirit. Then we now look at the laws that govern the manifestation of the Spirit. You know, Paul says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit without. Now, before we understand what that means, we need to understand how the Spirit operates, because the Spirit of God cannot operate outside of the Logos of God. The foundation of the operation of the Spirit of God is the Logos of God. The Word of God that is in your Bible. That is the foundation of the operation of the Spirit of God. And just in case we have a position that is extra scriptural, even if we sustain a position that is extra scriptural and we see manifestations take place, those manifestations are not furnished by the Spirit of God. Because Satan too can do lying miracles, lying wonders. And so if we do not understand the manifestation of the Word of God, it will be difficult for us to understand the manifestation of the Spirit of God. You might find someone that is operating with a contrary spirit and you might call him a prophet. And so it's needful for us to do our homework and understand the basis of the operations of the Spirit of God. The essence of the school of prophets is to get people acquainted, get people taught, get people established in knowing how to take advantage of the resource base of the Holy Spirit given to us by an act of mercy of God, so that we can become everything that God has ordained us to be. Because the potential that God gives us, with which he expects us to become a product in his kingdom, is spirit-based potential. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The investment is in spirit form. Is that clear? So each and every believer is supposed to come to a point where he can interact, he can relate, he can function with the Spirit of God effectively. That's the only way that you can become what God had in mind before he gave you the Holy Ghost. Is that clear? All right, so let's do our homework. Amen. Well, looking at trying to understand what it means when there's a move of the Word of God. Now, first and foremost, it's needful to understand that God is not a governor, not a president. He's a king. And the way he rules is different. Our president wants to borrow $30 billion. Even though he has that intention, he has to pass it through the Senate. That's not how God rules. He needs to pass it through House of Rep. God is a king. And because God is a king, he rules by decrees. And so the Word of God is a critical instrument in the administration of the authority of God, you must understand the implication of the Word of God as a believer. You must know how to receive the Word of God as a believer. A new era never begins in your life until you receive the Word of God. Hallelujah. And so there's this meticulous work of God that is tied to the nature of decrees that He sends into your life per time. If you are still with me, say amen. You know, Isaiah chapter 60 says, arise, shine. Why? For your light is come. It's not their light. Your light is come. And everything you read in the book of Isaiah chapter 60 is actually summarized in that one verse of scripture. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Okay. Let's begin from Psalms 105. If you want to understand the move of the Word of God, you will need to tune to the book of Psalms. You need to tune diligently to the book of Psalms and spend time there. David is a perfect example of a personality that understands the implication of the Word of God. I believe the reason why he had such understanding was because he was a king himself. And many times the reason why somebody will live and the other one will die is because he has given judgment, a proclamation. He has given out a decree. So he knows what that word of God is as an instrument of governance, of justice, of judgment, of equity. Well, Psalms 105 will be jumping. Let's do Isaiah chapter 55 first before we jump to Psalms 105. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11, there's an illustration. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11, there's an illustration that I'd like us to look upon. It's needful for us to understand when the Word of God is hovering over your life. When an orchestration that is the result of the move of the Word of God is trying to enter into your life. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and verse 11. Now, technical team, can you flash that scripture on the screen? Isaiah 55. First of all, in Isaiah 55, verse 10, we see a parable. Verse 11 is the explanation to the parable. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and runneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It will be wise for us, if your Bible is not borrowed, to underline void. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. So shall my word be. My word comes like the rain. The rain is on an errand. The errand that the rain is upon is an errand to provoke fruitfulness. is to provoke a cycle of life. Anytime rain comes, a cycle of life begins. Anytime rain comes, the impotent seed that have been broadcasted beyond the limit of sight that is dormant and inactive, the rain comes on an errand to activate a cycle of life. He said, in the same way that the rains come to activate a cycle of life, so also is my word. And until my word comes, a new cycle does not begin. Yes, I know you are pregnant with destiny. I know you are full of capacity and full of potential. But you see, your life is in cycles. It's in cycles that is orchestrated by the decrees that proceed out of the mouth of God. And just in case you have not received the word of God, it means that you cannot step into a new cycle. Now, in recent times, it's customary for a pastor to send forth a handbill carrying next level. I know you guys, you deny me. Have you heard of next level impact? Oh, Jesus. There's no next level without a decree from the mouth of God to your life. Just like you cannot pray in tongues and go to the farm in dry season and by faith you sow seed, you are out of season. Your efforts will not be blessed. No matter how faith driven they are, you are out of season. Hallelujah. And just in case there is cold, the cold in Jos, the temperature drops to 9 degrees centigrade and you come out with bare chest and you say, I'm strong, you will need antibiotics. Because you are fighting against disease. And I began to study that word, antibiotics. It means there are also oncobiotics. You will need oncobiotics at some point. Not just antis. Because you are trying to fight against the season. So it means that in the cycle of life, the rains are the kickstarter. So everybody goes to sleep until that kickstarter that you don't control comes into manifestation. Then a potential is activated. It's on the strength of that potential that all agricultural activities are established. It says, so shall my word be. Now we need to understand the move of the word of God, the manifestation of the word of God, before we now understand the move of the Spirit of God and then the manifestation of the Spirit of God, then the laws that govern manifestations of the Spirit. So that when you see somebody doing something that looks like a manifestation, you can probe it. Yes, the manifestation, you have seen it, but it can be probed, can be judged. And if you don't understand the manifestation of the word of God, you'll not be able to understand the manifestation of the Spirit of God. So the rains are the initial investment in activating a circle of life. There is a strand of activities that will become relevant when the rains have come. Hallelujah. You can't start it before the rains. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, in the same way, so shall my word be that proceeded out of my mouth. It was sent on errand. It has so much capacity and so much potential, such that it cannot return to me void. So that's not an option. If the word of God is what is in view, the option of it returning to God void is not in place. Proceed a little further. You will. The word of God is a powerful thing. If you have not known how to handle the word of God effectively, you will not know how to handle the Spirit of God. Because in the move of the word, it's the Spirit of God that applies it. Your own unique word. It's the Spirit of God that applies it. And in the move of the Spirit, the foundation of the move of the Spirit is the Word of God. Now, so if you don't understand the move of the Word, you can identify a spirit, but you'll not be able to prove whether it is the Holy Spirit. Now, so if we are dealing with the Word of God, the possibility of it returning to God void is not in view. Once God has spoken it, just like rain, rain cannot come and not fulfill the errand of initiating the cycle of life. That's when you will know that on this dry ground, there were seeds on the ground. And the seeds were dormant. They were powerful, powerful seeds, but dormant, waiting for an initialization. And once that happens, a cycle begins. You don't even need to pray on it. The errand of the rain is strong enough to initiate the cycle without your prayer. It says, so shall my word be. Now, I hope you know you are a product of the word of God that has been sent to you as an individual. This is how it has developed you. He formed you to become such a man. Now, you see, God believes in seed. There's a lot of seed stuff that God does. And that's why he gives us the investment of spirit. It's in seed form. When you receive an impartation, it's in seed form. It's the word of God that regulates those impartations, those seeds, and sets them on a course, a cyclical course, which is a course of the cycle of life, taking you sometimes on decree. Okay, you will not believe. Psalms 119. Let's take it gradually. You will not believe. You will doubt. Mayetokumbre sakamo. So shall my word be. Where's Pastor Anduna? Okay, what I'm saying, I will tell you as an individual, is not for the microphone. So shall my word be. And I will now tell you why that personality called a prophet is a significant tool in the administration of kingdom purposes in a region. It's because of the nature of the word of God. He is a personnel in word department in the kingdom. Because of that, is a critical tool in kingdom management. Are you with me? Okay. Now, let's check another scripture quickly. Just a few insights. Psalms 119. Sorry, I missed it. Psalms 119. Where is 119? 119 verse. Let's begin from verse 19. 119:19. No. 105:19. We have not reached 119. Sorry, 105. Psalms 105. 19. And this is the story of Joseph. I don't have time to go into it, but I want to extract this. You know his story, so no need to trouble you with so much of reading. And the Bible says, until his word came. And the word until is an adjective of time. The seeds were in place, but there was no manifestation until there is something that needs to come that will power the cyclical process. So the guy's situation did not change. There was no next level for him until what? The word of the Lord came. Meanwhile, before his next level came, which is tied to the release of the word of God to him, there was another word. These two words are the two seasons in the move of the word of God. Don't remove that my scripture from the screen. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. There are two seasons in the move of the word. The first season is what we call the test. The word of God will try you through a process. You'll be sentenced to a process. What the word of God will try you. Then the second one is a decree to end that process and to bring you into next level. Now, all of us like the next level word. Meanwhile, you cannot invoke that next level word. A conference cannot bestow the next level word to you. Now, let me explain something quickly. I went for youth service some time ago. After my youth service, I ran back home and I began to pray. And God says, who told you to come back? I finished youth service. He said, well, the people you went to serve with may have gone for youth service, but you have not gone for youth service. I sent you to Kano. And your assignment in Kano was to disciple some young men and to lead them in the way of intercession. It's in my diary. That's what he sent me to do. And I did not ask him whether I finished. I came back looking for next level. And he said, no, there's no next level for you. Don't look for it. Go back to the last instruction. For some of you need to go back to the last instruction. That canoe he sent me to minister to some people and to raise disciples for him, was actually a process. I thought I was the teacher. You know, he sent me to people now. He said, disciple people, teach them the scripture. So I thought I was the teacher. But that process of teaching those guys, discipling those guys, I encountered the kind of persecution I've not had in my life before. I did not understand that they go to Kano was so that I could encounter a process that was already set for me. Just like the Bible says that the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. God did not tell me it was temptation I was going to. He said, go and teach people. In the process of teaching people, all kinds of trouble broke out. And those days, I was still trying to handle anger issues and all of that. Because I come from a family where everybody is an angry person. Everybody. Some people can get angry and everybody is an angry. So I didn't know that what God was dealing with in my life was anger. And the way God deals with anger is that he brings people that will make you angry for 24 hours. The move of the world. Now, have you ever been in a situation you went to God and cried? You thought it was the devil. You cried. You thought it was a curse. You cried. Nothing happened. You know what? You were sentenced to it. Romina Sila, you are quiet now. Alright, so we went there and there was persecution. How did the persecution start? I came. The fellowship was an Orthodox fellowship. People that were baptized in the Holy Spirit were like 3-4 people. So I now came. The teacher, in the fellowship they have elders. That's what they call them, elders. Alright, so the elder that was the teacher was going to do an interview in Abuja. So they now approached me. They said, that copper, let him come and teach. I've heard I used to teach somewhere. So I now came, I greeted them. When I greeted them, I now opened the scriptures to the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And told them the four things that happened on the day of Pentecost before the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost. And I took them to the four-point agenda. 4 points. After explaining those four points, two things that God did and two things that they did to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I showed them the basis upon which a believer can be filled with the Holy Ghost. I showed them who was the baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and they understood it. And I showed them that it was scriptural for us to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Then I now showed them that these are the benefits that you derive from being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then I said, who wants to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? Everybody. So I now said, all right, today is Bible study, Friday is prayer. So this Bible study now, I give you tomorrow and Friday to study your Bible and find a different view from what I've said, and you should be able to support it with two scriptures. Then if you are convinced that it's in the Bible, come and come for Friday service. So people now came for Friday service. I took a fast for 2 days and I told God, the brothers and sisters need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Then I came on Friday and I said, Holy Spirit, I called Jesus to come and baptize the Holy Ghost. And then people began to speak in tongues. People began to speak in tongues. People began to speak in tongues. And the congregation blasted in tongues. Now the teacher that went to Abuja for interview left an Orthodox fellowship. He came back and met what? A Pentecost. That was where my problems began. My problem started when everybody began to speak in tongues. And it was an Ekwa community. That place where I was staying, an Ekwa community. So the children now came home and they were speaking in tongues. They now asked, what is this? They showed them the scriptures that I showed them. And the Ekwa parents now said, there's one couple that came teaching their children to speak a language. You not believe where that problem went to. The problem became another thing entirely. I had to go to the mountaintop to consult with God. My problems began just because I taught the scripture that you need to be filled with the what?
Holy Ghost.
Meanwhile, it was God that said, your youth service was not normal youth service. I'm sending you to disciple people. That word, I thought it was a charge for ministry. It was a release into a process that I had no control over. And you know, this process will continue until another word comes. So we entered into the persecution. Sometimes I went to God and said, David said, you teach my fingers to fight and my hands to war. Allow me fight one day. Hey, Jesus. Then he will say, you can have your fight, oh, but your wilderness journey will be increased. So you choose. If you want to languish in this wilderness for a longer time than necessary, take your fight. Because I will still have to deal with you to undo the desire to fight and the consequence of the fight that you engage. I did not have authority over the process that I was released into, because it took a decree from God for me to enter. Even though I go for deliverance, the process will still continue. Even if I go and say, hey, this is a curse, and I go for breaking of curses, the process will still continue, because it is a chieftain in heaven that decreed that you should be in that process. If you have known that the hand of God is in what you are going through, surrender to it. As long as you keep fighting it, your word for release will never come. The move of the world. You will embrace it with tears. It was in those days that I had one black trouser on the hanger. And one day the devil was angry, they stole it. It was still part of the move of the world. That word that released me into that mission field was the reason why my trousers were not threatened until I taught on Holy Ghost baptism. The move of the word. I was going through a process, and it was the word of God that decreed that process. And there was nothing I could do but an act of my will to change what the word of God has set in motion. Because you see, the seeds can be on ground, but it's when the rain comes that the cyclical process is activated. There's nothing you can do if there's a decree involved. You can go and visit a great man of God for him to break the curse that is responsible for what you are going through. When you come back from the curse breaking, the intensity of the process that you have been released into will backfire. Then when I found out that the hand of God was in it and there was nothing I could do, I could not increase the days. I could increase the days, but I could not reduce the days. Just like if I went for that fight now, I would have prolonged the time, but there's nothing I can do under heaven to reduce the time. It must be a full night. And the Lord, by decree, puts us in procedures and processes like that so that he can deal with some of our tendencies. It was later I understood that a man that carries the ephod cannot be an angry man. And God wanted to put the issue of anger to rest so that he makes his vessel a tender creature that can be compassionate for the weaknesses and the infirmities of men. Hallelujah. I've seen an anointed man that is full of anger. at the age of 50, had no son in the Lord. So God was trying to deliver me from a curse. That anger was a curse that was going to battle. It was going to struggle with my labors in the kingdom. Imagine a man at 50 had no son in the Lord to present and say, at 50, this is the son. Somebody that I've released my life into. I've discipled. I've taught your ways. I've lived exemplarily enough for him to know his left and right in the kingdom of God. He had nobody to present. Because of what? Anger. Everybody that came close was. So the word of God will sentence you. The first one, that one he was going through was a sentence by the word of God. It's not every word of God that is sweet, that is palatable. When you check that the situation you have tried to escape many times, but you didn't succeed, it's a decree that put you there. You know what you do? Just accept it. You'll be free. Ventilation will come to you when you accept that, oh, your majesty, your hand is in this matter. It took me time. I'm not saying accept sickness. You don't understand. Are you hearing me? I'm not saying accept disease. I was in 300 level when God told me you will not graduate with your mates. It was a decree. I heard it. I was in the bathroom. He said you will not graduate with your mates. I was not bold enough to ask him why. I heard it. I will not graduate. He's the King of Kings. Who can ask him, what doest thou? I started knowing him that time. I started understanding him gradually that time. Are you following? No strength to ask him why. There was no sign that I would have an extra year. But he told me beforehand. You know what? Why he told you? It was decreed. I passed through persecution. In that extra year, strange persecution that we cannot discuss here because some of you will know the things I'm talking. So, the persecution was strange. That first time, youth service, I was posted to Sokoto. You understand that? The real time I would have gone for youth service, I was posted to Sokoto. So, this other time, I was now posted to Kano. So, God was not telling me that. If it were youth service, I wanted you to go, you would have gone to Sokoto. In this Kano, you have come, it's against even NYSC's will. NYSC's will was Sokoto for you. It was manipulation that produced Kano. NYSC has no hand in Kano. I moved them to push you there because of you are going to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And it is a decree. It is still the move of the word of God. I fought every persecution. I fought it. But it came more. And the people that persecuted me, they prospered. Why? Because it was God that said, this young man needs persecution now. You are not understanding? Okay, let me explain. Sometimes Israel will sin. God will send them into captivity. The person torturing them is working for God. Because that is God's judgment for them. It's by the word of God that they are in captivity. But you see, because the people torturing them are torturing them, not checking, they are in the flesh torturing them. Say, I think we don't get you. Even when the sentence, the judgment has finished, the people will still torture. Every additional torture those people brought on Israel that was outside of the scope of the arrangement of the decree of judgment, they paid for that. That one was their burden. You are not with me. Now, so those guys that are persecuting me, they tortured me, and tortured me beyond my sentence. So they became God's enemies. But I will not tell you what happened to them. Because the 18 now is, thy light is come, not our light. So let's leave the people that tortured me. They work for God in a season, and then work for the flesh in another season. It's up to God what he does to them in the days that they walk in the flesh. Hallelujah. I was going through that process. And you saw, the disciples I was raising, they believed in me so much. So if I had come down that day to fight the way I wanted to fight, I would have discouraged them. Because they believed I was a righteous man. In fact, a model preacher, they believed it. So I now saw that I didn't even have the luxury of the anger I wanted to exhibit because of the disciples. Before I would not consider disciples. But now God has brought a responsibility. And I started thinking like God. My heart started working like God. And I now say, okay, because of the disciples, there are several things that God wanted to do. It's because of you, he didn't do it. So when you begin to think like God, there are some things too that you will not do because of people. Given the role that God has sent you to play in their lives, you begin to discipline yourself. Because an accurate Christian must be righteously strict with himself. It must be secretly pure before God. And it must be mercifully kind toward others. God was dealing with my disposition. And it was a decree that sentenced me to that spirit. And there was nothing I could do about it. I couldn't pray myself out. I couldn't go for deliverance and deliver myself from the dealing. I couldn't go for breaking of course conferences and break the yoke of the word of God on my life. I had to stay. And that process began to work something inside. It was not sweet. It was terrible. But I had to remain there. I remained there. And I didn't know that people were watching. People were watching. Many people, beyond the audience I thought were watching, there were many people watching. And when they saw for long that I did not react, they said, indeed, this one is of God. That was, they had it in mind. And I did not know until the day we proclaimed a crusade and they saw my poster on the pulpit, on the handbill. If it's this one, we'll come. Thank God I didn't fight. The wilderness journey would have been prolonged. And I would have waited for a long time before the word to release me to next level will come. There is a word of God that is released into your life to deal with your tendencies. The rougher you are, the more the persecution and pressure to break your dependence on the flesh. If you are somebody that is money monger, Baba will put you somewhere by decree. Where you will have pounded yam in the house, but before it will take 6 months before 500 naira will touch your hand. Your hand will become very smooth because lack, nyale will be far from you. And you pray about it, you come for fasting. It's a decree. The earlier you realize, the better. Some of you will now say, okay, I know this person in Abuja. You call. Everybody you call was angry about your life. You wanted to bail yourself out of the decree quickly. It is good. Those days that you are abandoned, those days were decrees. Trying to move out of the flesh. What God was trying to delay you to see was that even those circumstances that you call terrible, they don't have the capacity to undo you. They don't. You will outlast them. You will outlive them. And then Satan will not be as important as he used to be in your life when God has dealt with you. Nobody likes that sentence of the word of God sending you to the wilderness to be tempted. But that's how mighty men are made. Mighty men are made not just by sweet prophecies. They are made by decrees that set them under lock and key so that they'll be exposed to the torture of God that will break their dependence on flesh. Glory. If I'm preaching well, say amen. Of the persecution. The people I helped, they dealt with me. The only people that didn't deal with me were those my disciples. Who now went for crusade. That crusade, God spoke to me. My allowance, my last allowance in NYSC was what we used to do that crusade. Hallelujah. 8,000 naira. You know, our allowance is 7,500. So I forgot 500 naira in the account. It took a miracle for me to forget that 500 naira. I'm still wondering how I forgot. Because when I checked, the balance was 8,000. Jesus, I withdrew it. That was the money we used to do that crusade. I mounted the podium on that day. And while I was still talking, a crippled woman began to walk in the crusade ground. In fact, that crippled woman was a notable woman in that place. Because she was the one that was running a beer parlor in the barracks. And all the soldiers policemen in rank and file,
they knew the woman. She was a notable figure, and she was crippled. It was in the crusade ground. I wonder how she locked her shop to come to the crusade ground.
And she rose up and she began to walk. Yes, she was staggering, but she was. The people that persecuted me, when they saw the miracle, the persecution stopped. That miracle was a decree that era has ended and the day of wonders have begun. Until his word came, the word of the Lord, he tried him. You know, most of you get excited when the word of God is preached. The word of God is not only sweet to the ears. There are some of it that when you consume is bitter. It's bitter in the belly. When your metabolic system begins to act upon it, the entire it will purge your system. It's bitter inside to produce purging. But that purging is not sickness. The purging is cleansing all the debris and the death that you have eaten. So that you become lighter and more healthy. There are extra and excess luggages that you are carrying. Some of your philosophies. Some of the way you saw your uncles grow. The philosophies that they instilled into you were contrary to the word of God. And when the word of God wants to find a place of preeminence in your life, God sentences you to a process where he deals with your psychology. He deals with your philosophy. If you are an angry man, he will make you tender. He knows how to do it. He will sentence you to that prison. He will leave you there. It will be as if he forgot you. No, he is crying too. For every stripe you receive, he cried. Hallelujah. Because what he wants to achieve is not that he will destroy you. The process was meant to refine you. To make you more Christ-like. So that you are sensitive to God. You are tender to God. When God is offended, you will know quickly. Because that your hardened nature that is self-centered and self-seeking, it has been paralyzed, crippled. The nature of Christ that was domiciled in you quietly is beginning to speak and beginning to bear fruit. Suddenly, there is a furnishing of God that is beginning to come out of your life on the account of the process that you have been subjected to based on the word of God. Now, so there is, in the move of the word of God, there is a word of God that is in form of sentence that sentences you to a process that even your flesh does not like. And you cannot deliver yourself from that process because it is a decree. And when you are relieved from that process, that the impact of the process will be glued upon you like a badge. To be what? Glue. You know, when you hear the scripture that in Philippians chapter 3, I guess, verse 3, we have the circumcision that worship the Father in spirit, we rejoice in Christ Jesus our Lord, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Now, that guy has judged that there is no profit in the flesh. How did he come to that conclusion? It was a dealing, it was a process that he was subjected to. It was after that process, the end point of the process was that, no, if it's the flesh, leave it. Hallelujah. Now, this kind of a person that has no confidence in the flesh has acknowledged the inadequacy of his natural life, his natural capacities. This kind of a person is a person that will be introduced into the life of prayer. Seeing that there's no confidence in the flesh, the only way to make impact is by the Spirit. And this kind of a person will not call it a waste of time if God tarries long to answer him. Because he has no confidence in the flesh, he cannot change job description. Oh my. A man that has not gone through this process will still go and hold something that he believes will deliver. And that's why the sentence is not emotional. It is an all-night process. Have you ever prayed in tongues and instead of the night to be 5 hours, it became 3 hours, 2 minutes? It's all night. Tell your neighbor, it's all night. You have been praying for release. You have been praying for escape. You have been praying for the sun to shine on your face. Tell him again, it's all night. No man becomes a strong man if you have not gone through the cyclical process of the dealings of the decrees of God. That your anger will be what will destroy the things that God is sending you to build. It's better for us to nip it on the bud now before it becomes a monster.
I have seen somebody in 50 years, he had no son to present. No son to present. An intelligent preacher. A wonderful preacher. A mighty orator. But his anger was his undoing. It was like a curse that was factored into his system. The devil used it to mark him. And there was no process that dealt with that. There was no decree that dealt with that stronghold. Are you with me? You are not following. You are not following. Some sorcerers can peep into a bit of your future. Some wizards can peep into a bit of your future. They can. There are some things that if a very skillful wizard is dealing with you, is attacking you, he knows that he cannot touch your destiny. He knows he cannot touch your anointing. He knows he cannot determine when you pray. He knows he cannot decide that you will not study the Bible. He knows that. But the way the curse will work is that the curse might manifest in such a way that it breaks your focus. You don't stay long enough to become a man. You understand? In order for God to deal with you from those things that inevitably will compromise the authenticity of the call and ordination on your life, he sentences you to a process by a decree of what? The word of God. Me, it was anger that would have destroyed everything that God wanted to build in my life. When that era of anger passed, God now started dealing with pride. And God told me that revelation and pride cannot go together. That is only carnal knowledge that pops up. Revelation is supposed to humble. I say, it's sweet now, but I went through prison, spiritual prison, process, things I could not control for the backbone of pride to break. I went to another prison to learn long suffering, where somebody is blowing you and you are looking at him for 3 years. Mortal men don't behave like that. Those manifestations are fruits of your recreated spirit that the flesh will never allow to find expression. It takes a sentence for the hold of the flesh to break so that the fruit of your recreated human spirit can take the place of the deficiencies of the flesh that the curse is hanging on. And when the Lord does that, you can mount up with wings far and above the expectation of anybody in your clan. And when they curse you at that time, it doesn't come to pass. Because the platform upon which the curse would have held to find effect, that platform doesn't exist anymore. Your confidence is no longer in the pride. Your confidence is no longer in your human ability. Your confidence is no longer in your ability to talk, your oratory powers, your diction, your know-how. Your confidence is in the spirit. And that's why it's no longer a waste of time when you tarry long. Without the spirit coming to bear witness with your spirit, you know that the options are not many, because the flesh profits what? Nothing. Coming to that point in your life where you acknowledge that the flesh profits nothing is experiential knowledge, not Bible knowledge. Until his word came. Now, so a believer must be able to judge his life and know what word is he operating under. Is it a sentence to break confidence in the flesh? Or is it a release unto ordination? A release unto destiny? But in any case, in order for something to happen in your life, there must be a decree that will sanction it. And that's why sometimes the devil comes and masquerades like God and he gives a decree. It is in those times that the scripture says, who is he that speaketh? Because the devil too can masquerade and speak. Who is he that speaketh and it cometh to pass? When the Lord God, this modus operandi is only God that functions, that is approved to function at this level and in this way. So who else was that one that spoke? And it came to pass when the Lord God has no sanction. By all means, rebel against the decrees of the devil. But if it's God that decreed it, even if you rebel, it won't stop. You cry, it will multiply. You shout, it will be stronger. And when you find out that the decree is from heaven, I have counsel for you. Surrender to it. Yes. So if you find out that his anger, God wants, okay, be telling God, don't spare the anger. Don't spare it. It's just like a woman that wants to go through a cesarean section. And the baby is full in the womb. And when they tested it through ultrasound, it's 5.2. And you know that normal delivery is not in view. Amaletia. The woman knows that we cut her with knife. But it's in her interest that she must be cut. That sometimes it's in your interest for you to be cut. It's a spiritual circumcision that is going on. And at the end of the day, when that circumcision exercise takes place, the effect will be that you have no confidence in the flesh. Now, notice that it's the word of God that orchestrates your seasons, just like the rain. All right. Now, is there any one of us here, when you were much younger, God spoke to you and told you that when you are older, that's when I will open you up to manifestation? And you receive that word, mommy, raise that hand very well. Now, you see, that was a decree, all right? That was a decree. And betweens was a process. And most times the processes are very unpalatable, very terrible, very strange, something that you cannot understand with your mind. Hallelujah. But when you find out that God spoke about it even before it began to happen, you now begin to probably understand that all of these things were orchestrated, they were designed. And it means I'm looking at it from a wrong perspective. I'm not seeing the hand of God in it. I don't want to open this scripture. It's calling me. But if I open it now, we'll not be able to go to what I came to do. Hey. Alright. Well, maybe it's not the will of God for us to do what I came for us to do. So let's open that scripture. In Hebrews chapter 12. The word of the Lord. Alright. Now let's look at the first aspect of word in that scripture. The first aspect is a decree to subject you to a process that you have no power over. Second aspect of the word is a decree to release you from that process and to release you into the next level of your life. Okay? Now, let's check the first one. In Hebrews chapter 5, from verse 4, the Bible says, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. There are two factors here. There are two things that you will be wrong if you do not consider when there is a dealing. The first factor is that there is a possibility for you to despise what God is dealing with you about. The second factor is that there's a possibility for you to faint when you are passing through dealing. Those are two extreme positions. If you do not, hallelujah, if you despise the dealing of God, it is possible that you will forget what God is dealing with you about, and God will need to orchestrate another dealing again for the same subject. If you faint when God is dealing with you, if you faint, Satan will use your brokenness, because you feel that you are suffering too much. Why is it me? So Satan will begin to suggest to you, and then use that dealing to become an objective for him to plunge you into anxiety and into depression, such that at the end of the day, instead of you to become tender, you become hardened against God. Two factors. Oh, you didn't follow me very well. Did you follow me? So he said what? Despise not the dealing. So if God, if you have discovered, you prayed about it, fasted about it, it's still there, it's likely that it's a dealing. And if it's a dealing, find out what God is dealing with you about and be part of the process. Surrender that thing he's killing. Surrender it. If it's your anger, surrender it. If it's immorality, surrender it. Kill it. It's painful, but let's not come back to this operation. Now, somebody went for CS and they forgot Jesus inside. They will have to come again and cut the place and do it once. Kill the immorality. Kill it well. Put, after killing it, put a tag on it. Done. Don't interfere. Oh, you are not. David was busy. He went to sleep with a man's wife and he killed the man so that the man would not be alive to press charges, because adultery was a capital crime and the judgment for adultery was death. But if the man dies, nobody will believe a woman that is uncovered. So he set the man up. There was nobody left to press charges. He did not kill to ascend the throne, but he killed to defend it. I'll say, all right. And then he went to God as his custom is. He knows how to repent quick. Went to the temple and he repented. He knelt down. He rolled on the ground. God said, unfortunately, there was a commission. You committed something. It was not just in the heart. It was not a commission that was something that you allowed. There was an act. Because there is an act. In order for you to be relieved of it, of this, there will be a judgment. So that no demon can accuse you that this thing is still hanging on your life. You must be subjected to fire. You understand that scripture about Zacharias that was a priest in the territory. He was summoned to the court of heaven and Satan was standing by his side to resist him. Remember that situation? That he had filthy garments and Satan was standing by his side to resist him. That's the war of thrones. The war of thrones runs on a permutation, runs on wisdom, runs on knowledge, runs on your ability to operate in the court of heaven with intelligence. You know what the great one says? Because after Satan held his garment and began to resist him, if he wants to talk, Satan says, "Kai, shut up." I'll do something. I'll rush you. So we did not hear Zacharias come and throw out, because Satan was, every statement Satan was with, is you and respect. You know, this guy, I'll take the guy. I'll take him out now. How was that case settled? The great one that sat on the throne, he said, "Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire?" What's the meaning of that? This guy has already gone through judgment for this thing that you are accusing him. So he is no longer valid in the court of heaven. So there are some times when there is commission in your case, commission, he will take you through the wilderness. You know why? Not because he hates you. This accuser, this one called Satan, his school is a lawyer. A schooled lawyer. So you know what it means now when David says, "Better for God to deal with me than for my enemies." Because God's dealing is to create a possibility. You will suffer. You will pass through the fire so that the accusation will not have a platform on your life anymore. So some of you that indulge in so many things and you are passing through, go through it. The reason why God is doing it is so that Satan will have no ground. Your destiny will be untouched. And a day will come where you'll be summoned from the prison. From prison straight to palace. There will be no need for Okada. You move straight. Please help me tell your neighbor, you move straight. You move straight. That's the justice system of heaven. So he said what? Despise not the chastening of the Lord and don't be what? Be weary. Those are the two extremes. Are you such a one that you know that the process that you are going through, you are prayed about it, but you are weary in it? That's why it is long. You did not identify what God was judging and to present it and say, kill it quickly. You were not participating in the process, so you didn't really surrender. The process stops when you surrender. As long as you are still fighting, you still have something to fight for. It's the fibers of your flesh that is reacting. Because the Bible says that he that has come into his rest is seized from all his struggle. If you are still alive in the flesh, when they criticize you, you will want to go to the market. And everybody coming to the market will explain to them how that you are righteous. You are still walking. You have not come into your rest. The dealing continues as long as you are active. The day you die to the worst that the devil feels he can do, then you are ready to become a son, to wear a crown. Until his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. When you find men that when they cry, the Holy Ghost comes. The secret is not the way they cried or the words they use. Because when the disciples went to cast out devils, they said all the things Jesus normally said. The devils didn't go. And Jesus came and said the same thing that they said. So they now came and said, why could we not cast him out? It's not in the saying or the not saying. You see, this guy that went through process, some of you were put in process, you absconded. The meter is still reading. Absent without permission. Still reading now. In the spirit. But some people had the option of running. They stayed. And when they stayed, what is stature? It's a position of favor that we have before God because we were subject to his dealings. And so when that guy stands and says, Jehovah! It's not only a voice that is speaking. He's speaking with the marks, the sufferings he suffered for Jesus. The obedience to the process is everything packaged together that is calling, and the Spirit of God will answer. So you are not an agent of spirit to dispense the blessings of the Spirit if you have not gone through the process that is word of the Lord subjected you to by a decree of God. You want to be strong? Be obedient. Hey, why do you think that the church is hollow? We are massive in number, but we lack men of stature. The move of the world is scarce. I'm tired of this thing they call faith ministry. I'm tired of it. After every service, they say, next week, there's a phone call. Who told you that the dealings of God end with phone calls? In fact, when you are sentenced to a process, sometimes your phone won't ring. You don't know what I'm saying yet. No, you don't understand. You are waiting for a phone call. You won't have it. Hey. Waiting for a phone call to pay your house rent. Waiting for a phone call to the children's school fees. No phone call. You know what? Your number is hidden. Some people will not. It is when you have finished the process that say, your numbers appeared on the phone. God will hide you in that prison until your word comes. I've seen many people. One guy came. He said, it's because they are not seeing me. So he came out. He wanted to be seen. He said, I am here. They still didn't see him. He was covered. He was still under sentence. God ensured that he was hidden. He now knew that he's not about going to the main road and shouting. If God does not release you from that prison, if your word has not yet come, there's no next level. No next level. And so because these things are not taught, when people come into this, because to the faith preacher, anytime there are no results, anytime there's no money in the bank account, anytime you are finding it difficult to pay the children's school fees, the faith preacher makes you believe that there's sin in your life. That's a demonic gospel. It's a gospel that is opposed to process. And Jesus emphasized process more than blessings. If we are going to graduate from becoming disciples to becoming sons, you are going to go through process. And every scar that you went through in that process, it's an immortal promotion. It's of immortal value. It's what is adding to your life to make you bona fide. Two people come to pray for a case. One comes, prays from morning to evening. And when he was leaving, he was a faith preacher. He said, I don't want to celebrate devils. The demon didn't go. So he left saying, well, I don't want to celebrate devils. Glory. Glory to God. You don't know God. If at this age we can't cast out devil, we need to weep and cry. That was what he said. What? I don't want to celebrate devil. Your authority is not recognizing her. You are not known. You don't have identity. And then we'll now use American tongue to complicate a powerless situation. I went to preach somewhere and I said, the topic was, I sought for a man to stand in the gap. So I said, wait, let's forget. Let's break this scripture to spare parts and bring the parts out. The first part is gap. And this gap is only a man that can fill it. And as long as there is this gap, God himself is incapacitated. I said, digest that one first. Did you get it? Then I now started explaining why there's a gap. That there was a royal decree from heaven that says the heavens, even the heavens belong to God. And the earth has been given unto the sons of men. That's a royal decree. And God rules by decrees. He's not a prime minister. He's not a president. He's a king. If he speaks, his words become law. And he himself is subject to it. Okay? Are you with me? So, God cannot say that the earth belongs to the sons of men and God will come into the earth without the permission of a man. If he does that, he has committed territorial infringement. He has infringed on jurisdiction. Then I now define what prayer was. It was earthly permission for heavenly interference. The earth will have to pray before the heavens will legitimately function on earth. So if man is not standing in that place of intercession to create a portal for heaven to invade, there will be a gap. Heaven has an intention to invade, but there's no man filling the gap, so the circuit cannot be complete. Wait, I've not finished. I said any church, any congregation of people that gather together that are not playing this role are not useful to God. Kai, the pastor, became offended. And I spoke that as a prophecy, that this is your state. Yes, it's in Makodi here. And the pastor read that scripture. He came, he was angry, but he couldn't. So he wanted to make me angry too. But I had already spoken. Even if they don't invite me again, I don't even want to go there. But the opportunity I had, I told them, you guys are not really important. I brought my points. You know what? You cannot use the Bible to contradict my point. But you can use other things. You can be angry. You can be proud. You can be in the flesh and fight me. But you cannot fight me with the word of God. Because no scripture will contradict my position. Be like that. So that if somebody fights you, he will fight you out of sentiment. Not out of scripture. And any position that you hold that is opposed to scripture is a lie. It's only men that have not gone through process that will be afraid of men. And lie because men gather. That's how you know a man that went through process. Worst thing that can happen that is that a man die. Would I be the first to die? What else can you do to me? You say you killed me, then what? Unfortunately for you, there are people like me everywhere, even here. If I go, they will rise. If you kill one, the anointing that falls upon the other one becomes greater and stronger. The Bible says if they had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. That's the best you can do to me. I will not deny what I have known. It is by Jesus I arose, and I will preach him till I die. If God allows me to be cut off, he's in service to his will. That means I will be higher in the kingdom. There's nothing you can do to me. You can't fight the truth. You can't contend with it. The pastor was offended, and he now went and took that scripture that says, those that say that are apostles but are not, but lie. He read it, thinking that maybe I'll be offended. He didn't know that I passed the message. That when God is looking for people, here, the name of this place, it's not around. So you can fight with me, but you can't fight with the scriptures I release. It's when you have gone through dealing that you separate yourself from scripture. Separate yourself. So you can preach and people will insult you. No problem. But what I preach is valid. The day you repent, it will be relevant. If not, if you are not dealt with, you say, no, separate yourself. You are small now. People can insult you. But the word of God will abide forever. Did you get it to that point? We need men that have gone through process. That's how you get stature. When Peter said, look on us.
Not look on Jesus. He said, look on us. We have something with God. For silver and gold we do not have. That's what you seek. We have something better. Something with God. We share something with God. How can men, mortal men, be that confident? They went through a process. They had the opportunity to escape. They were there. They knew it was God doing it. And they say, if it's you, we surrender. When they came out, by the decree of the word of God, they say, ah, such as we are, we give you. Some people don't have anything because you didn't go through anything. So don't lie. Don't lie. And don't come and claim. No, you have not gone anywhere. In the kingdom, that's how ranking is. It's by process. Finally, all these things I've said is the nature of the word of God in the government of God. Now, I need to tell you about the manifestation of the word of God. Then maybe my time will finish there. Manifestation of what? The word of God. So when the word of God begins to manifest, now every decree that is sent is pregnant. Is pregnant. Is pregnant with spiritual matter. And that decree will have to enter into your heart before the meaning that is concealed will begin to break out. And so the Bible says that the entrance of his word, it giveth light. There is an illumination. An illumination that comes when the word of God enters into thy heart. Now, the Bible says, arise. That's a commandment. And the reason why you are commanded to arise, shine, is because your own light has come. Imagine that there are 32 people in a prison, and then the light that came was one light, and the thing located one person. It's only that one person whose time in the process has been accomplished. It's not a corporate world, though. Those of you that are still in the process, remain there. But I'm telling you what happens to you when your time in the process room has been accomplished and you have been dubbed as the son, given a territory of rulership to manifest the dominion of Christ by the power of Christ that is dwelling on your inside, that has been converted to power in order to establish your chiefdom that God has committed to you on the account of the process that you have been subjected to. There's a chiefdom that God will give you. Hallelujah. Amen. And there will be power to back up your authority within that locality. Anamoko. Hallelujah. Amen. And so when the word of God enters, it manifests as light. So the manifestation of the word of God is in form of an instrument that has luminous character. It illuminates your inner chamber and it begins to expand. Now, this manifestation, are you with me? Because in the book of Isaiah chapter 60 that we read, it says, thy light. The manifestation of the word of God is in form of light. And when the word of God hits your heart, it activates an illumination. That illumination enlightens the eyes of your understanding. And then the decrees of God begin to unfold. Begins to unfold. Now it diffuses energy into your spirit man. It is that energy that is diffused into your spirit man that is actually next level. Not conference. That is the word that brought Joseph out of prison. That is the word that will bring you out of your process. And it is the power of that process that establishes you as a son. If you call upon God, he will remember that process that you went through. You had a choice to leave, but you stayed. He will remember it and he will answer with power. He will answer with signs. He will answer with wonders. He can answer by killing a man. Because he said, I will give men for your sake. He can answer by killing. He can answer by fire. He can answer by signs, by wonders. He can answer by war. He can answer by a battle. But he will answer. Because when you had the time to go, you did not go. It means you have decided that your destiny will be in common union with him.
So he will not call him, and he will not answer.
Did we get it to that point? So the one we read in Isaiah chapter 60 is the word of God that comes to set you apart from process and to set you into ordination. It is at that time, you know, when you were in prison, are you with me? When you were in prison, you were humble under the weight of the process. You prayed for money. When you prayed for money, money didn't come. So you took your ATM card to withdraw money. The machine ate the card. How many of you have ever tried to charge your phone with ATM? And the thing, they did it, they reduced, took the money, but your phone was not credited. Those kind of experiences happen when you are still in the process. Your money, 1.5. That's how I stopped using ATM. Because in the days of my process, I took ATM to credit my phone with 1.5. And it took the 1.5 and no credit. And there was nobody to consult with. No personnel, either bank or network provider. I knew it was a delay. Hallelujah. The entrance of his word. Now let's see the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Because the manifestation of the Spirit of God is always standing on the foundation of the Word of God. Now, so for every layer of the Word of God that you have yielded to, there will be a manifestation of the Spirit of God that stands on that layer. Now, you went through process and you got some scars, you got some dealings from God, and then you stayed, you did not jump bail, and you stayed until a release. And it was the word of God that sentenced you to that process. And you went through it and came out. That's how men get stature. So there's a manifestation of the Spirit that will always have that dealing as a foundation. Yes, there is. That's the secret of strong men. They have gone through dealings with God and they did not run. There were people that God was dealing with them about pride. And when he's dealing with you about pride, he will make you ashamed. He'll put you in a situation where shame will be staring in your face for long until you become comfortable with it. The Bible says Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He had master's degree in grief until grief was no longer an issue. You, the last time you were ashamed, you took off for 6 months and said, I felt I did not belong. Your wilderness journey, you will still be in it with gray hair. Still be navigating the wilderness. In old age, you see me navigate. Say, I felt I didn't belong. Yeah, I don't have time. Would have worked on this thing. Would have worked on it a little longer. In order for Paul to speak about the manifestation of the Spirit, he brought out some factors. Because every operation of yours in the Spirit should actually bring testimony to the Word of God. It should be a support for the Word of God. Every manifestation of the Spirit should be what? A support of the Word of God. So that they will be able to say, this happened, that it might be fulfilled, that which was said. This happened. I hope you know. How many of you, when you were much younger, there were some people that prophesied on your life, and the prophecy was like it was dead, it was still, it could not find expression. The word was spoken to Jacob, but it cannot be fulfilled in Jacob. Jacob will have to pass through the process that will make him Israel. That is when that word will lighten. That is when it will now become the manifestation of light. You, as a carnal man, a fleshly man, a proud man, that prophecy cannot be fulfilled. But the prophecy will sentence you to a process, and when you become Israel, It will lighten on Israel. So there was a phase in my life after I went through some processes. I thought God hated me. I thought God had abandoned me. That's what happens to you when you are becoming weary in his dealings. Meanwhile, from God's perspective, if he loves you, then he's going to chastise you.
And just in case it's not chastising you, you need to query the love of God on your life. Because you are not with me now. You are not with me. Have you seen people before manifesting the grace of God and they don't have the character of God? You heard they slept with this one, they slept with that one, they took this one away, they ran with somebody's wife and all of that. That person has that, you know, there's something called settlement in the kingdom. Settlement. Abraham had children with Keturah, and the Bible says he gave them gifts and drove them in. Some of people were settled with word of knowledge. Abraham's name cannot be attached to that child. So they had to bear Keturah's surname. In fact, their names were not disclosed. They are nameless as far as the commonwealth of the covenant was concerned. But in order for them not to die in transit, Abraham gave them what? Gifts. So he gave some word of knowledge and settled. Gave some prophecy. So you see the guy manifesting prophecy. But he doesn't have the character of God. He has never gone through the process. A man that has not gone through the process, God is not planning anything with him. It's just gift now. It's gift. Now, so we are not talking about illegal manifestation of the gift. We are talking about a manifestation that is actually gives credence to the word of God. It gives support to the word of God. When we see the way the Spirit of God moves through your life, then we know that, indeed, the word of God is true. Somebody came for a crusade to a state. Stadium was jam-packed. And then he started selling oil. Now this one is 5,000. This one is 5,000. This one is 10,000. Miracle oil. Miracle oil. And poor people that have not received salary. The 59 characters that make an alert, they have not seen it for a long time. Where they got that 5,000 from to buy oil, I don't know, but they had 5,000. That person that came, that crusade man was a thief. He's one of the people that settled with a gift. To go, that Abraham cannot, you can't be Abraham's name. You will be a son of Keturah. But if you are going to be in the commonwealth, they will send you to prison sometimes. And when you come out, and the bitterness has died, and the pride has died, and the confidence in the flesh has been weakened, then he now puts a crown upon you, and you can bear his name. Anywhere you go, you say, "Have you seen my servant Job?" So the Spirit of God comes upon the life of a man that has been obedient to the dealings of God. And I got that from the book of Acts of the Apostles, I believe, chapter 5, verse 32. Now, let's try. As I try to round up. Now, I've not been able to show us the manifestation of the Spirit. That is my intention, actually. My intention. I just wanted us to go through this place. Acts chapter 5 from verse 32. The Bible says, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that what obey him." This Holy Ghost giving is different from Holy Ghost baptism. This layer, this measure of Holy Ghost giving is given on the account of obedience. It's given on the account of subjection to process. This one is Holy Ghost giving as by covenant. This man is a victim of the sentence of the word of God. So he is licensed and the Holy Ghost is given to him. Such a man can invoke the name of Jesus in the morning and somebody will die in the afternoon. He said, "I found an enemy." That guy cannot make a personal enemy. He only make an enemy because that person is an enemy of God. And God has raised him as a law enforcement agent. The zeal of the Lord has consumed. It's like a cherubim. The cherubims are those creatures in God's archive that when somebody insults God, they will insist that he must be punished. They will what? When you see a man that the zeal of the Lord has consumed him, so that he's so zealous when you touch his God, then there's a problem. His zeal is like that of the cherubim. The cherubims are excited when they see men like that. When you hear an angel coming to Daniel and say, "Daniel, thou art highly favored." When you hear that kind of a thing, those guys are zealous.
They don't fight their own carnal battles. If you insult them, there's no problem.
But if you insult their God, oh my, they call for riot. They invoke the altars of heaven. They curse you and curse your generation. They are zealous for the house of God. Those men, the Holy Spirit is upon them because they have been subject to process. Subject to the authority of the word of God. Hallelujah. That's what makes a fake and a genuine. A fake has no process. But a genuine must have a process. A fake was never in prison. So he comes out, he speaks like a prodigal. A preacher was on the pulpit and said, "Kai!" Some a fine lady came into church and said, "Oh my God! Oh my uku! That even when those days I would have booked for your 9 to 5 a.m. That even were those days. When he can talk like that, he has not been to prison. You have not seen Jehovah the Judge, so you can just talk like that. And I'm not sure God sent him to ministry. He's just doing something there. The day the devil realized, the devil is not even aware he's there, actually. The devil said, you are here? He's nameless in the spirit. He's nameless, like the sons of Sceva. No name in the spirit. He said, "Paul, we know." The moment you go through that process and you are called out for induction, your details are sent to her, into the registry of her. Hell knows that one of the potential troubles we have is the rise of this man. Mark this man. The sons of Sceva were nameless. They checked the books, checked the data bank. You have no name, no identity. For Paul we know, Jesus we acknowledge. Who are you? Nameless. Nameless. Man, every move of the Spirit is tied to the move of the Word of God. Everything that the Word of God has advanced in your life, every cyclical, fruitful season that the Word of God occasioned, just like the rain that you went through and you fulfilled the cycle, becomes a basis for the Spirit of God to rest upon your life. And when there is a casting down, the Spirit of God will make you flourish. He will send sons of strangers that will stand and build your walls. Men and women will go out of their ways to be a blessing to you because there is something you did that made you a partaker of something that is with God. That's why Peter said, "Such as we have with God, we give you." That's not a normal kind of prayer. Somebody that finishes from a theological college may never pray that prayer all his life. Okay, let's switch. Let's switch for 5 minutes. We'll try it for 5 minutes. If it works, then you will get where I'm going. It is when you have understood the manifestation of the Word of God that you can understand the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Because the person that the Spirit of God now is giving in this way because of obedience, he is a functionary in heaven. God gives him a place in heaven. God gives him a throne in heaven. He becomes a law enforcement agent. Whereas the Holy Ghost will be sparing on the lives of others, it will be bountiful on his life. You'll be wondering, what is his secret? Let us find out when he prays, so that we'll pray like him. You can pray like him for 4 years and not have what he has. Then you know what he has. It's not in what he's doing. Is in who he is. It's not what? In what he's doing. It is in what? Who he is. You can do what I do. And most times what we do is deceptive. Somebody can be looking at you and say, "I know his secret. See you." Do you know how much hunger him and his wife had to pass through? 7 people that went through it, they denied God and they started doing all that things. He kept the calling. The hunger kept coming. They didn't know when deliverance would come. But they said, "Jesus, we'll hold on to you." And when the day of their word came, they sent and brought them out of that process. And then began to teach them in the way of kings, to govern nations, to take care of the affairs of the state, from the prison. No Okada, no Keke, no. There was no journey in between. The next time we saw him, where was he? In the palace. You want to be a king, you never went through process. You are a counterfeit. And we have a lot of counterfeits in the Nigerian church, making noise and bamboozling the people. But a generation comes that know how to wait upon the Lord. They will come in their own due time. John the Baptist was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth unto the Israel of God. The Bible said the word of the Lord came to John the Baptist in the wilderness. So this word we are talking about doesn't have a problem coming to your location. For the heir, as long as it's a child, differeth not from a servant, though he be Lord of all, is kept under the custody of tutors and governors until the time was of his showing forth unto the Israel of God. And that's why the Bible says, arise, shine. The reason for arising and shining, you don't know, you think you are still in jail. No, you are no longer in jail. Your light has come. So arise. If you arise before your light comes, it will be an arising in the flesh. And when God sees you want to exercise the flesh again, he will intensify the process. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. It's in that day that Gentiles come. People that are not yet friends of Jesus will hear of your fame and the power that works in your members, and they will want to find out, how do you do this? How do you survive this? How do you walk like this? My friend and his team went to a village, and when they began to pray in tongues and to pray heavy in tongues, the wizard of the village now came and said, "This is your prayer is causing us problem." You know, for them to come that way like that, it is frustrating. It means that enough damage has been done. And actually, they checked if they could strike. There was no opening. So they came physically and said, "Your prayers is a problem." He must have gone to the data bank of the devil, and the guy has a name. A brand name. Aye. So he came casually and said, "The prayers are good. Can we do anything about the prayers? For a herbalist to be humbled this way, his light has come." There will be many reasons why Gentiles will come. Some of the Gentiles will come because your prayers are a problem. But Gentiles indeed will come. And a time comes as you begin to gravitate under the influence of the navigatory power of the Holy Spirit. Because after you have gone through the process is lowly. Eh? But the product of the process is glory. And the elevations are gradual. First of all, it will be Gentiles that will come. And then the influence begins to increase. And then it comes to a point where it is what? Kings that come to the brightness of your rising. The true definition of prosperity is influence. It's not phone call. It's what? Influence. Because when the Spirit of God begins to operate on a measure that is bigger than a state, it will pull kings. The attention of kings will be drawn. How do you do this thing? Then you tell them about the story of the great God. Now, you see, that story will not be a story you will need to learn how to tell. Because your process has already made your tongue mastered. The thing you went through 25 years, at least in 5 minutes you can tell it. And it will carry authority and power. It will be suited. It will have the power of the 25 years in 5 minutes. Because you and your world will become one. We have cheap preachers. We have cheap believers trying to become what they are not in heaven. They have no name in hell. But they are trying. The days of the fakes are over. A legion of men that have been kept concealed in the caves. It's not as if they don't know what to do, but you see, they are under sentence. That a time comes when God will give us nations. Nations. He said, "You go here, go and take care of this place." You just like Titus. Paul left one man in Crete and said, "Set everything in order." Those are princes, those are chieftains. It's not about their method. It's about what they have become. And then you begin to rise and bask in that glory that has come. It's when you have gone through the process of the word of God that the glory of God has where to rest. That dove that is looking for land, he will find land on your life. You know, Noah released the dove. He didn't find where to perch. He came back. But when you rise out from the doors of dealings, there is land enough for the dove to rest. And the Bible says, it's upon anyone that the heavens open. And the Holy Spirit descends and remains. He descended on some, he didn't remain. And when the day he came as a dove, looking for land to land. A new thing had begun upon the earth. In Isaiah chapter 61, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me. I'll stop on this. Even though we can't go to... My scripture was 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But you see, we can't get there anymore. And sincerely, I don't know how tomorrow will be. So, let's not preempt it. Holy Ghost night. Holy Ghost night. Said the Spirit of the Lord. God is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Oh! This is a law enforcement agent. The dove has found ground to land. This kind of anointing won't lift because it is on your life by covenant, and you cut the covenant because you agreed to stay in the process. Stay. It's hard. Nobody desires to go through such stuff, but stay. Stay. The things that God will give to you will be much more than what you lost. I have seen that God can beautify. He can make that which was dead, he can quicken it back to life. The Bible said the Lord killeth and he bringeth to life. When you think that you are spent and you are overspent and there's nothing left in you that is good anymore, leave God. He killeth and what? Abraham's journey in with God and his story changed from 70 years. It was in 70 years he encountered God and his journey began. And by the time it was 100, he had so navigated in the spirit that God so loved him that every contract that has to do with the blessings of the families of the earth, it was will to him. He became a chieftain. Entry titles from the mortal realm. Became the friend of God. Became the father of faith. He became the father of many nations. And in the book of Romans chapter 4, Paul said, what is it that Abraham has found? They wanted to find that. It was a research proposal. We want to know what Abraham touched that gave him such stature. The Muslims claim him to be their spiritual ancestor. The Jews claim him to be their spiritual ancestor. The Christians claim him to be... What did Abraham find? That is how men become colossuses. That the contracts and the covenants that they cut with God still determine how things are run on the face of the earth even long after they had gone. That's a colossus. And if one colossus can come from your family, that will understand the alignment of the heavens and the earth and know how to raise altars and mount on them to cut covenants in the spirit, even the dead can come back to life. We seek a man of the word of God upon whom the Spirit of God can rest. The time for cheap talk and half measures are over. We need people that are thoroughly furnished by God, that will bring back the glory of Christ and will bring honor to the gospel again. The men of the world, the Spirit of God is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach. What? Give me the scripture. Preach good tidings to the poor. Sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, the law enforcement agent. Law enforcement.
This is the reason for which I'm empowered. This is the reason for which I'm galvanized. There are many brokenhearted. God wanted to reach them, but God was not in a hurry. He put him through a process first. He had those brokenhearted in mind, but he is not in a hurry. Finally, before I round up, finally, listen. There are few things on earth that happen that makes heaven rejoice. One, if a sinner repents and gives his heart to Jesus, the Bible says there's great rejoicing. That's one. Two, if a man comes to a point where he discovers that his purpose in life is actually to partner with the Holy Spirit, to bring the enemies of Christ to his footstool, if a young man, a man in his youthful age, finds this truth, the Bible says from the perspective of heaven, it is beautiful. My reference for that is in the book of Psalms 110, verse 1 to 4. I don't have time to scratch it. It's beautiful. And finally, when another son goes through process and is being inducted as a law enforcement agent, for the spirit of the law to rest upon him to enforce the justice system of heaven upon the face of the earth. Just like it was for Jesus in John the Baptist's baptismal service, when he said, behold, this one is my beloved son. Heaven makes a proclamation. Heaven makes a boast. The God in heaven, he also offers, there's a decree that goes forth because a son has matured. We are not seeking for Christians, we are seeking for sons. People that have gone through the process that the word of God sentences men to. And they did not abscond, they did not run away. Arise, shine. Thy light is come. Thy light is come. Thy light is come. I have a story to tell you. It's a testimony. I was a Bible Sunday school teacher, teaching scripture. A lot of people were excited. They were blessed when I taught the scripture. And I said, wow, great. But you see, I was nameless. And God wanted to do something deeper. And he sentenced me to a process. And when I went through that process and came out, I've always been known as a teacher, the teacher of truth. Hallelujah. Then when I came out of the process, God now said, teach now. So I was confused. Because all I knew was that I was teaching. So what do you mean by teach now? It was years later that I now discovered that time he said teach now, I had the authority to function as a dispenser of divine truth. Because of the process that I've gone through, what I will teach will be truth. So I was commissioned. It was that utterance that commissioned me to begin to teach. When God eventually revealed to me that I was called to the apostolic ministry, he told me the unique apostolic shape I had and my mission in the body of Christ. And that's where he said, we should run. I should not be in a church-based platform. I should be in a non-denominationally based platform, because he's sending me directly to the body of Christ, not through a local assembly. He made me to understand that he wanted to make me a voice in the generation. Bro, the process that Baba put me through, the Lord will help. Teach now. That's where it started. That's where it started. Teach now. Teach now. There were utterances to actually establish me in some things. Are you with me? Yes. When the prophetic grace began to come in on my life, began to come upon my life, I walked in it for a long time. God now spoke to me after some years and said, now, I put upon your life, I place upon your life the power of the prophetic. You will flow in deep revelations. Now, I was already flowing in it before the utterance came. The utterance came to establish me in it. That means I had license to operate in it. You know, there are many sources of the prophetic. You can go to Nembe, they wash your eye with python water, and you begin to see vision. But the one that we come from heaven, we come by a decree. Whether you hate me, you don't like the way I look, it won't change a decree. You get it? And so your contract is not with men. So if they hate you, it will work. If they like you, it will work. So whether they hate you or not, it doesn't matter, because your contract is with God. You share something with God. That's how strong men are made. That's how the Spirit of God rests upon you. That's how, when you begin to call him in prayer, he begins to come, because of a covenant. That covenant is what make God make the second decree to remove you from the process and to establish you as a chieftain. To enforce law. That's where we want to go. We're going to pray two prayer points. For most of us, there are dealings that you are going through. Receive grace to go through it. Don't come out. There are people that have been in the Lord for 20 years. They have not become anything, because they didn't yield to the process. They just became old in the church. But if you are going to go somewhere with God, you will yield to the process. As good as you think you are, there's something that God is judging. He wants to judge in your life. You are leaning on it, but it's of the flesh, of the old creation. And he wants its authority over your life to break, so that you don't have confidence over it. And what you have confidence over thereafter is the Holy Ghost. Then you make the Holy Spirit your friend. And in that day, when you lose your peace, it's a great thing. But now, when you lose your peace, I just lost my peace. Eh? For a man that has gone through process, when you lose peace, it means the center of gravity is lost. Something is threatening your license, your platform. You will go in search of it in the spirit. And if it means you will stay out of circulation for 14 days, so be it. Because that's the only way you know that what you did has approval from God. He brings you into the joy of his Lord. Peace floods your heart. And oh my God, my assessment is good. God is pleased. And that's what we seek for. That peace. That peace. And in the day where we stand before Jesus, you will know what that peace means. Only kingdom men want that peace. There are many things I won't do because I will lose that peace. I'm not like you. I honor that peace. I know what it means. Let us pray together. Now, pray a prayer. Don't be conscious of your neighbor. In this prayer, leave your neighbor out of it. See, let's ask God. See, ask God, take me deeper. And just in case you are going through a process, don't run away. A day will come, he will make you in charge of nations. Nations. Oh, you are looking for money today. Time will come, you have so much money to spend in different currencies that if you didn't go through process, that money would have distracted you. Don't jump out. Don't jump out. Stay. Take me deeper. When you begin to go deeper with God, your appetite begins to change. Your desires begin to change. The things that worry you begin to change. If the object of your worry has not changed for the past 12 years, you have not grown. Things that bother you, they will begin to change. Don't run away from it. Stay in it. It's a process. It will yield a prince. He said, like a prince, thou hast power with God, and thou hast prevailed. You were on a process before you took off like a tornado. You bailed yourself out of process. You can repent tonight. Until his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Did you abscond? When the first consignment of the grace of God began to come upon your life, did it provoke pride? Have you really caught a strong sense of responsibility for the kingdom of God? For souls that are perishing, souls that are perishing around your environment, in your city, in your nation. Have you begun to share in the burdens of the Lord? Is it true that you are a kingdom agent living to serve the will of God? That's why we live. The Bible says that God will not forget our labor of love. Take us deeper. Take us from the periphery. Take us from the surface. Launch us into depths of reality that changes our scale of measurement, our vista of perception. Lord, do something in our life. Kamborosika Maya Tobina Kale Salabakande Ambre Soko Palamanahala Samen Selimoka. The final stage of making for the army of God that God will unleash upon the earth to begin to establish and extend the frontiers of the kingdom. The final phase of the molding is taking place. Do not faint when you are chastised. Do not faint when you are chastised. For God chastises everyone he loves. He chastises everyone he has received. Alamamamam.